This is a replay of the Wednesday night, June 17th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And if we have tornado updates, they will break in at the moment, David Jennings and staff. So keep in mind, you'll hear it here rather than whatever I'm prattling on about at the moment. You know, I play 2020 News when we have a dearth in callers because it's a lot of fun. And when I don't, I put it at the end of the replays every night. And feature has gotten a lot of attention. All of the stories are real. It's the writing that's just better, actually, in the CKLW reminiscent 2020 News style, of course. And interestingly, the voice is all AI. And that's good and bad news. The good news is they can make it sound just like Byron McGregor and Steve Marshall and all that. But the bad news, of course, is they're still working on inflection. But that said, I was listening last night as I was putting the replay together. And if you downloaded it and heard it, you probably did hear it. If not, it's 90 seconds. And it was the last of the three stories. And so we'll pick it up right after you hear it.
Bambi meets God Spiller, plus Clash Dance and California Commercial Collision. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Whoa, a deer. Dear Prudence. The only thing worse than a deer on the road is a deer that looks like it had one too many for the road. Police in central France are warning motorists that deer deemed drunk are woozy and wobbly after eating fermented or rotten fruit, the New York Times reports. One burden, one botch, one deer can mean a sheer hunter demise for drivers. Beware of Doe Frey Veer in the headlights. Case closed. Could be an unbearable weekend at the Grand Prix in Montreal as strippers say they're at the shake joint breakpoint because of working conditions. Nell on heels as the sex workers union plans to go on strike just when the town's crawling with high rollers and low lifes alike. The striptease freeze flame a matter of most dancers getting paid tips but no salary. Mad girls set to strike a close and strut their best Norma Frey. Cars 4 kids crash. Radio and TV's kid car crooners just got courtroom clobbered. A state court has banned Cars 4 Kids commercials from California airwaves, ruling the charity's kitschy jingles concealed where the cash was really cruising and failed to clearly disclose the group's religious affiliation. Now the sing-songy spots stay sidelined unless they spell out the mission in plain English. That wasn't just carpool karaoke, it was disclaimer dodgeball. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.
All right, so I heard that and I thought to myself, I had no idea. I knew that the jingle is universally hated. And of course, that's probably what makes it successful because people remember it. It becomes an earworm and all that kind of stuff. I also realized that they were buying a ton of advertising. These are not promotional public service announcements or anything like that. They're paid for commercials. So I thought, well, let me do some dive. Now, before we say anything else, California's ban is, there's a stay on it. The appellate court has issued a stay so stations can still run the ads, not to the delight of listeners, but nonetheless. journalists until the appeal process plays out. So, okay, so I say to myself, I got to find out who these people are. Well, here is the deal. The charity behind Cars for Kids is an Orthodox Jewish outreach organization called URA. Now, Cars for Kids is a registered 501c3 nonprofit, but it's the funding arm that funnels its proceeds to URA. Now, URA is charitable as well. No one's claiming it isn't. It operates a variety of educational and recreational programs, including summer camps, mentoring, and after-school groups, primarily for Orthodox Jewish youth and families located in New York and New Jersey. So I look at this and I say, all right, let's see what other states have been saying. The Minnesota Attorney General conducted an investigation in 2017 and revealed that less than 1% of the money raised in the state actually benefited any local children. And so the controversy centers around the fact that the ads depict young children and imply the funds are helping local needy children when they're in fact not. So California banned it, and that comes from a lawsuit that was filed, I think it was in 2021, by a California man who argued the ad features young children, even though some of the proceeds are directed for programs that fund older teens having trips to Israel. All right, so apparently the individual who filed the suit has standing because he donated a Volvo that year, hearing the ad over and over on the radio, and at the time he expected his donation, which he made in California, would go directly to benefiting children in California. And so the appeal was expedited after the judge ruled in favor of the plaintiff. And so rather than change the ads to disclose the hidden facts about the true use of donations, Cars for Kid wants to continue the ad during the appeal process, and they're allowed to. We'll see how that plays out. But I found this so interesting because so many people will talk about how they absolutely hate that jingle, yet this is the first time a court banned it, and not for the reasons I would have liked, like mainly that it's a pain to hear. Pennsylvania and Oregon both fined Cars for Kids in 2009 for using misleading solicitation process. And, here we got a number of things going on. For one thing, a significant portion of the money goes to paying for the ads. In fact, they spend more on marketing than they give to the charitable programs. So I think all anybody wants is a statement to say who they are and what it's going for, and then people can make their own decisions. But when I first heard that last night, I had no idea that this was going on. I just knew that it would be of interest, and so many of you absolutely despise that jingle. But like I say, that's well done, because that's why people remember it. Now, whether or not they're donating anything, I guess that's another matter. All right, Marty in Whiting, welcome to WGN Radio.
Good evening, Raleigh. How are you doing?
All right. How about yourself? What's up tonight?
I can't complain. I don't know if John told you this, but two deaths in entertainment business.
Oh, tell me.
I could not distinguish his name, but I think he played saxophone, but he was in the band Chicago.
Oh, when was the death?
He passed. I had just awakened from a nap. Okay. I'm assuming it was today or maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right. So he must have played with Chicago for a while.
Yeah, that probably Walter Paradiser. And
that was it. Yep, that's it.
And I'm sure I screwed his last name up tremendously, but we'll call him Walter P. And, that's okay. The signature flute solo on Color My World and the sax on Just You and Me. And toured with the band for 50 years. He helped form it in 1967 and pioneered the concept of the full horn section. Of course, that's what sets Chicago apart from everyone else. He retired from touring in about 2017. And so at that point, Ray Herman, who was an L.A. studio musician, recorded with Bob Dylan and others, took over the woodwind chair. And so, I had not heard that. And sadly, it was today that he passed away. And as I say, I had not. He was in hospice care, which I didn't know. He had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I think, in 2021. So bottom line is this was a valiant fight, but he 81 mm-hmm. years old, he's resting in peace. And while we'll miss him, mm-hmm. I'm sure he's on to a better world elsewhere.
Yeah, I was a big Chicago fan. Then the second death, I probably would never have called you for this until I heard he opened up for Frank Sinatra, a man named Tom Dressen.
Oh, yeah.
He passed away, too.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I knew Tom Dressen.
Oh, really?
It's Dreesen, by the way.
He was Dreesen? Okay.
Yeah, he was a stand-up comic. He's from Chicago originally, and he grew up in Harvey. And the only reason I know him is for a while I was doing a friend of Claude Hall a favor and writing the Box Jocks column for retired radio people. And I'd hear from him occasionally who listened. And so, yeah, he had a long relationship with Frank Sinatra. He was the opening act for like 14 years. And he did that with others, too, Sammy Davis and Liza Minnelli and even Smokey Robinson. So, and he did stand up and things like that. And you can see him. He did a lot of guest shots in television. Everything from Columbo to WKRP, you know, he was there a lot. He wrote a book, Tim and Tom, an American Comedy in Black and White. And that was his partnership with Tim Reed, who he was famous for, actually. A lot of Tim Reed stories on that. And so he was 86. Mm-hmm. And sadly, I did not, I had heard he had cancer, but I had heard he was doing well. But apparently he died today at a local LA hospital. Wow. Sorry
well,
to hear it.
Listening to it. Like I said, I fell asleep, but I woke up listening to the Chicago Cubs game because I don't have the marquee channel. And both the announcers, Def, Tom Dreesen, and they said how he was been in the booth a couple of times, and he just cracked him up. So he's also a stand-up comedian.
Oh, yeah. That's primarily what he was doing for his opening act, of course. And he was just an all-around good guy. Now, very ill, of course, is Bonnie Tyler. She came out of the coma, and I don't think it was on her own because it was a medically induced coma, and she'd been in it since May, if you're ready for that, at a hospital in Portugal. And the deal is apparently she had some real intestinal problems, and there was an absolute emergency, so they put her into an induced coma, but they've taken her out of it. But now, from what I understand, she's the quote from her family is she's very unwell. And she was rushed to the hospital in Portugal in May, and that was intestinal surgery. And at that point, it just went, you know, downhill, and they put her in an induced coma. And she's out of it now, and that's good. The doctors are confident she'll recover, though progress. She's about 75 years old or so, and so her tour is canceled or postponed. Yeah, I didn't even realize that she was ill. She's from Wales originally. She's not U.S.-based. And because Jim had said, you know, Bonnie's out of her coma, you play something. And, you know, try as I might, I can't find anything I'll play. You know, with me, it's all about the song, and she didn't do anything I'm willing to hear. But nonetheless, I absolutely wish her the best.
Well, and who requested Bonnie Tyler's song? You said Jim last night?
Yeah, Jim in Richmond. He said, since she came out of her coma, can you play something by Bonnie Tyler? And like I say, I actually tried. I looked up about seven or eight songs, and it's not her voice. You know, I can take that or leave that. I don't care. But if it's choice of song and I don't like it, I just don't like it. And there was nothing I could find.
Yeah.
But I tried.
I hope she turns out okay.
Yeah, I do,
too. And then speaking of your listeners, I had to laugh last night. I listened to the whole show. But who would have thought that when I heard Fran talking and her mom was on Queen of a Day, just like my mom was when I talked to you, last week, was it?
Yeah.
Well, so give your listeners, both of our parents, Fran's mom and my mom, has been on Queen for a Day.
I just love it. I really wish someone would do a documentary. I want to hear all the stories of the winners, and I want to hear what the stories of the losers, what caused them not to win this. So now, if you were listening, Johnny Goen mentioned that his parents were on this show that Bud Collier had done, and right now, Feather Your Nest. Well, after the show, I promised I would watch it. So I did. This categorically is the worst thing I've ever seen. Now, I don't know, and you know, I'm not that television savvy compared to most people, but I looked at this and I was positively aghast. Firstly, it was 1955, and I remember 1955 like it was yesterday because of the Danish modern furniture. Damn stuff was uncomfortable, and it was in the horrible colors of orange and turquoise. Why they thought that went good together, I don't know, but I lived with that. And so, in any event, the whole set, thank God it was black and white. right, because the whole set was this Danish modern furniture. And when the hostess was describing it to give away, she said, in a beautiful turquoise color. And then she goes to the other set, and it's bright orange. I said, of course it is. It's 1955. So that was the highlight of the show. It went down from there. So I don't know. I don't know.
I've never heard of that show.
Me neither. Feather Your Nest. Oh, and when they open it, they say, you could win this house. And they show, and of course, nobody wins the house. Or this car. And they show this, like, concept car that no one's ever actually seen. And I thought, wow, that's a little misrepresentation. They're going to give you a Danish modern chair. So, yeah. Fun stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm going to let you go.
Thanks
for
calling.
Other callers, so.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Good deal. Yeah, now, before we get to, we've got Brian in Seneca and Cindy in Chicago. Cindy's awake now. Glad to hear that. And we'll pick it up right there. But first, I wanted to mention the Sea Crane Company, because I love them. And, you know, I always say Bob Crane should be knighted because he, like many of us years ago, decades ago, was just dissatisfied with radio reception and said, I could do better. And the hallmark of every radio that the Sea Crane Company sells is it just has great reception, AM and FM. But they also sell an emergency radio, and it's my all-time favorite emergency radio because it works. Now, what I mean, there's a lot of emergency radios, but let's say you've got one and the batteries are dead. Maybe it's even solar, but you didn't have it out in the sunshine. Well, the CC solar with Bluetooth does run on battery, will run on solar. It's a big solar display, too, oversized panel. It'll last for a long time. But let's say you didn't have it out there and you didn't bother to go for an AC adapter. And by the way, in an emergency, there's no power anyway. Well, it's got a little hand crank on the back. You hand crank it for about 30 seconds. It's going to play for 30 minutes. So no matter what, you will have radio, and you'll have a light, because it's got a light in it, which is really neat. It's terrific. Built-in LED flashlights, so you've got communications, you've got lights. It's also possible it'll charge up your cell phone. Now, not to surf the internet or anything, but to make an emergency call, you may be able to get there. And you can read more about it at ccradio.com. The CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. And that Bluetooth sounds so good, you're going to want to use it as your Bluetooth speaker. And you can. It's got the weather band and weather alert, and it is just a terrific radio. It looks good, too. About the size of a brick. It's white. It's got clean, modern digital design with five easy one-touch memories and, you know, a dial light and a clock and all those kind of things. And so ccradio.com, the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. Can't go online? Call them. They've got great customer service. They'll answer all your questions in case you have any, whether you go online or not. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But before you do that, if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. It really is a lifesaver. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Mr. Bassman, you've got that certain something. Mr. Bassman, you set that music thumping. To you it's easy when you go one, two, three.
You mean ba 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 ba.
Yeah, Mr. Bassman, you're on all the songs with a ba boom 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 and a da da boom boom boom. Hey, Mr. Bassman, you're the hidden king of rock and roll. Ba 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 ba.
No, no, ba 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 ba.
Oh, it don't mean a thing when the lead is singing or when he goes hi-yi. Hey, Mr. Bassman, I'm asking just one thing. Will you teach me? Yeah, the way you sing. Cause Mr. Bassman, I wanna be a bassman too. Oh, Mr. Bassman, I really think I'm with it. Boom, boom. Oh, Mr. Bassman, now I'm a bassman.
That's it. Now you with me.
Oh, it don't mean a thing when the lead is singing or when he goes hi-yi. Hey, Mr. Bassman, I'm asking just one thing. Will you teach me? Yeah, the way you sing.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's probably Johnny Cymbals. Well, it's only his only hit, other than one, Derek. I'll get to that. But Ronnie Bright, that's the bass man on that, and it's probably the most famous work he ever did, not credited, but he was just terrific. Yeah, he was with the Valentines, Lily Mae Bell, and things like the Woo Woo Train, love that. And he was the bass voice on Who Put the Bomb, Barry Mann, because he did a lot of session work as well, and he was with the Cadillacs and all that kind of stuff, and then later toured with the Coasters. But it was Mike and Elwood who wanted to hear it, and Johnny Cymbal was an interesting case all the way around. And the only reason I knew about him is he lived with a friend of mine, Jack Gale, and Jack's wife, Lovey. And I don't know what was going on with Johnny's family. He was like 13. And Jack got him a recording contract when he was 14. And that's before the Cap record of Mr. Bassman. And it was interesting because he sort of reinvented himself when he came up with, he became Derek and did Cinnamon, you know, sneaking down the alleyway, knocking on your door. Thought I had enough, but I'm back for more. Yeah, Cinnamon. All right. In any event, he wound up divorcing his wife, married a girl named Carol. They got divorced. And he took up with Peggy Klinger. You remember the Klinger sisters? Well, maybe you don't. Sometime we'll tell that story. Yes, I'll play puppet. But in the meantime, that didn't work out too well because sadly she died of a drug overdose. And yeah, that was, he wound up moving to Nashville and doing a lot of songwriting. And in fact, it was 3 days in 1993 after he was on a Nashville television show of songwriters and by all accounts was just terrific and in great health. And well, you know what's coming. 3 days later, dropped dead of a massive heart attack. So that was it for Johnny, Johnny Cymbal, who was very talented, but man, had had a ton of problems on the inside. So we'll just leave that there. Rest in peace. And that is for, yeah, I just told you, and I just lost it here, because there are other requests, too, that I wanted to get. I've got the list. Mike and Elwood, yeah. He also wants the Flamingos, I Only Have Eyes for You. All right, well, we can do that. Somebody wanted Up, Up, and Away, and I don't even remember who that is now, but, yeah, and I played it in March. Isn't that soon enough? All right, so Brian and Seneca, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing this evening?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm doing okay. First off, on the Cars for Kids.
Yeah.
That is one of the most horrible jingles I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But I've made every effort to back off on my disdain for the jingle simply because basically they're raising money to send Jewish kids in New York to summer camp. And okay.
Well, except, now let's pause and say, except that most of the money goes to the ads to get the money.
Plus, they also pay their executives to a far greater degree than one would expect from a outfit that can't even spell cars correctly, but expects you to give them yours.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm going to have to do like Charity Watch or one of those. They'll tell me what the guys are getting paid. Okay. I'm going to look. All right. Yeah, well,
it's part of what burned them in Pennsylvania and the one other state other than California.
Okay. So we have charity ratings on Charity Watch, and Cars for Kids gets a D. The amount spent on programs relative to overhead is 41%, $48 to raise $100. All right. And they're in Lakewood, New Jersey. All right. A lot of Orthodox Jewish people in Lakewood. There you have it. And I don't think anybody.
Yes, I'd probably donate to them myself if they were spending some extra money to send Jewish married couples with children up to the Borscht Belt.
Oh, geez.
Of course, there is no more Borscht Belt.
No, there isn't. Oh man, you look at the pictures of Grossinger's and all that, and you say, "How could that happen?" But it did. No, I don't have any problem with who might be behind it or where money's going. But I do think I would agree with California to say you should disclose. I think the more we can have disclosures on all the charities, the better off it is. So there you have it.
Certainly, and. I'm still saving my nickels and saving my dimes to get a good sea crane because what we used to call it back in the day, I'm sure you've heard the phrase since your Class 1 FCC licensee Morse code and all.
No, they didn't ask for Morse code. I had to do that when I took the ham test, but no. For your element 3 and 4, they don't talk about Morse code.
Well, you got to get to that that point, but we used to call it pull. In other words, you turn on the radio. If a radio's got good pull, okay, and the station can be got from where you are, you're going to get the station. If the radio doesn't have good pull, you can be in Winnetka and fail to get WGN.
Right. Not only pull, but you also want to make sure that it's selective, where all the stuff that are surrounding it isn't drowning it out, because sometimes, you know,
yeah,
things
splatter.
Yeah, pull
is a subjective thing, but that mixes into it. Like the radio I had when I was a kid, and I used to listen to Eddie Schwartz on W Lightbulb,
uh-huh,
before he made it to GN.
Right.
Was a 1947 Philco.
Yes.
I forget the exact model number, but it was basically a pre-war Philco that was carried over.
Okay.
And it had this cylinder antenna.
Okay.
Where the cylinder was about 2.5 foot tall and a good 8 inches around, and it had copper wire woven all through it. So it was effectively a directional antenna.
Yeah, it's probably one of the transitones. That's what Philco used to call them, transitones, like 47204, 47240. Yeah, so most of the mid-40s tabletops went to loop antennas. They weren't still doing the cylinders, but yes, Philco kept that.
Yeah, I was always an odd duck for collectible stuff, for radios, I prefer floor consoles, and for automobiles, I prefer four-door sedans.
Uh-huh.
Where everybody wants little cute little Bakelite tabletops and their two-door hardtops or their two-door post coupes.
Whatever floats your boat. So what are you listening to today? What radio?
Listening to either the internet or a Sony AM/FM shortwave cassette CD.
Oh, wow. All right. So, yeah.
I got in when I was on active duty with the Marine Corps. They had a special on it, the exchange, and I bought it.
Yeah, the CFDs, they were like V-17 or G-500, one of those. Yes, yes, they absolutely. All right. So that should be pretty selective, not tremendously, but pretty selective.
Yeah, I don't have a external antenna of any degree of quality. Otherwise, I'd be able to listen to the weather band. Of course, the weather radio I've got right now is, I got it for free, but my sister didn't pay a whole lot for it either.
Okay. Yeah, well, they're widely available, and they're pretty cheap, you know, as far as that goes. A lot of them are available. And so, yeah, well, that's good. Now, I'll tell you, when I look at radios, like in the 80s, when I talk about, like, Bob Crane discovering how bad radio reception was, and he was so right. The one exception is some of the Panasonics had incredible reception. And usually the things that were just ugly as sin and big and, you know, probably had a cassette in them, but they had reception. And so I give them credit for that. And in the 60s, I used to love those Zenith Royal series, like, you know, Royal 275. And 265. Those are great little radios. AM only, of course.
Yeah, the ones that carried on a tradition of the transoceanics.
Yes, yes. Well, I had a transoceanic, and mine was a tube. And, of course, I love the way transoceanic, you know, they build it as portable. They put a handle on it. It was luggable. This is not portable by anybody's definition. But, yes.
Yeah, I had one for a couple years myself, and it was a wonderful radio, and it was portable for a given value, portable.
Right, exactly. If you had muscle strength, yes, it was portable.
Yeah. And some of the real admired radios in the pre-war collectible sphere are admired because their looks.
Oh, yeah, right. Like the cabinetry, of course.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Like the Nocturne and the Bluebell.
Mm-hmm.
Who's make the Spartan Nocturne and Bluebells.
Yeah.
But others that are admired, the Zeniths are admired because they've got pull, and the E.H. Scotts are the holy grails because they are some of the best radios that have ever been built.
Yeah. And some people who are not very hard on their toys still have them. You know, nothing around me lasts very long, but I miss them all. All right. Well, thanks for calling. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I did have some requests.
Oh, you do? All right. Let's move
above
over.
And beyond, if you can get some of the discussion you had about emergency broadcast system that you did on a commercial break a couple days ago, get it out actually on the air.
Oh, yeah, well, that's interesting that you bring that up, of course, because we have a real crisis in America that's not really discussed very much, and that is as older folks retire, the people who replace them as head of emergency management in the counties throughout the country know nothing about broadcast. They're usually not even asked in the interviews. So to them, emergency management, getting the information out to the public is something like an Everbridge or one of the systems that, you know, will alert you on your cell phone. But of course, if the ICBMs actually crest the pole, you can kiss a goodbye because your cell phone's not going to work. But increasingly, we've got a problem where the counties have no way to understand how to even disseminate an informational message over the EAS system. So, it's a big problem.
Yeah, and that came up real big as recently as Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, yeah, and then the famous one in Minot, where Clear Channel, and, you know, I'm not one to necessarily defend Clear Channel, but I sure am in this case. Clear Channel took all manner of hell because of what happened with the Minot derailment and people died. And they said, well, that's because they're run remotely from Minneapolis and all this. The hell it isn't. The county never sent an EAS warning. So to
me, and if you don't get a warning, you can't broadcast a warning. And when I was still in the service, the class of units I served with last responded to things like natural disasters, amongst many other things. And so I was actually in the middle of Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina, and the only thing that even came close to being able to talk to a cell phone was the radios in the back of my truck.
Right. Right. No, I know. And it was absolutely a lack. And we see that. I don't know what the answer is. I know for our county, I just agreed to take over as the LP1, so I'll handle it. But ultimately, the counties, this should be a requirement that emergency managers are aware of the EAS system.
Yeah, because even if you don't lose your cell towers, there are a sizable number of people who don't have cell phones, right, or refuse to get them, or
right,
can't afford them, or whatever.
Right, absolutely. No, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's going to be interesting to watch this play out, because the other thing is the biggest manufacturer of the NDEC, where you get the alerts and all that, has given up the ghost. They're not going to make any more models. And they really were the best, Sage. They were great. And so now, if my Sages go bad, thank God I've got a few, but I'm going to have to look at DASDAQ or something like that, and I'm not pleased. So that's a problem, too.
And yeah, I can certainly understand that, especially since you're running your radio station as a real business that really needs to have some money left over from the ad money after you pay your royalties and the electric bills and everything else.
Well, yeah, that's certainly true for my primary FM, but my AM and my translator, that's just a toy. I don't try to monetize it. And so that's my labor of love, and I just pay for it. And yes, the music rights kill me. All right. Well, good to talk to you. Thanks.
And my request.
Yes.
Okay. I have four requests. Preferably, you can play them a little bit closer to each other so they feed on each other and, you know, kind of make the sense. Call it September. The first request is September song, the Kurt Weill composed song, You Pick the Artist.
Okay.
The second one, Carol King.
It might as well rain until September. Okay, all right.
And then the next one, Dinah Washington, September in the Rain.
Right, okay.
And then the last one, Earth, Wind, and Fire, September.
Yes, that Allie Willis wrote. Yes, absolutely. All right, we'll do it.
Great. Talk to you later.
Thanks for calling. So we'll pick it up right there. We got Ralph in Rockford. We've got Cindy in Chicago. We'll get to her next because she fell asleep last night waiting. Indeed, it took a while. So all that and more is coming up. We're here for another couple hours, and I hope you'll join us on WGN Radio.
What should I write? What can I say? How can I tell you how much I miss you? The weather here has been as nice as it can be, although it doesn't really matter much to me. I don't need sunny skies for things I have to do, 'cause I stay home the whole day long and think of you. As far as I'm concerned, each day's a rainy day, so it might as well rain until September. Friends look forward to their picnics on the beach. Yes, everybody loves the summertime. Oh, but you know, darling, while your arms are out of reach, the summer isn't any friend of mine. It doesn't matter whether skies are gray or blue. Raining in my heart, 'cause I can't be with you. I am only living for the day you're home to stay, so it might as well rain until September.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, Brian didn't say how to play him in order, so I figured I'd pick the one out of the four that I like best, and that's Carole King on Dimension, 1962, Might As Well Rain Until September. We'll play September song, and I picked out the artist I want, and Dinah Washington, September in the Rain, and of course, Earth, Wind, and Fire, September. But we have ignored one of the biggest September songs. So without further ado, you should hear a little of it anyway. The Tempos did it originally.
Alone each and every night, while you're away, don't forget to write. See you in September. See you when the summer's through. Here we are saying goodbye at the station. Summer vacation is taking you away. Have a good time, but remember.
Yeah, that was 59, a big hit to the Tempos, and then it was 6 years later that the Happenings decided to desecrate it and made it a hit again.
I'll be alone each and every night. While you're away, don't forget to write.
Bye-bye, so long, farewell. Bye-bye, so long.
See you in September. See you when the summer's through.
Here we are.
Bye, baby, goodbye.
Saying goodbye.
All right, so yeah, equal time for all our Septembers. I could probably think of more, but that occurred to me right away. So yeah, Sid Wayne co-wrote that, Sidney Weinberg, who was actually in a group, the Chicken Flickers. You don't want to know. All right, so we have Cindy in Chicago who is awake now. So Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, first of all, before I tell you what happened that was just so humorous tonight, I wanted to apologize to Eduardo for not liking his Doors song. I listen to all that. I just, right.
Worry not.
But then, if you want to play a Doors song for him, you could play "People Are Strange."
Oh, let's not encourage it. All right.
That's the best. I went to Macy's in Old Orchard to take something back.
Okay. Very good.
Well, I knew I parked, you know, it was like 8 o'clock, because it's light out now, you know, it's gone. And anyhow, so I parked, you know, I'm like, you know, I remembered I parked pretty close to the door because it was 8 o'clock. So I get out. And I go up to my car and I beep it and I get in. And I get in and I'm like, what's wrong with this seat? What's wrong with this car? So then I'm like, huh? So then I looked, my dash cam wasn't there. And I'm like,
maybe it wasn't your car. Yeah, see, I knew we were going there. Yes. Well, hopefully the owner didn't come out right about then.
People, you know, like if someone would get so, you know, because it was like close to closing, if someone would come out and call the police.
So was the car the same color and model?
It wasn't. It was like a little white. I don't know what, you know, a little. I have a Honda Fit and it's white.
Okay.
And it has a moonroof. Because I can't really drive a big car. I would get a.
All right. So you have a Honda and what did you get in?
I don't know what it was. I mean, it was some kind of electric, funky car. It looked like my car.
All right. So you got out of it in short order, no doubt.
And then these people were getting out of their car. And I'm like, I don't know if it's because I've been getting migraines and I'm a little mixed up. I knew I parked close. I said, that's my car right over there. I don't know. It was just unbelievable. But then, anyhow, what else was I going to tell you? I don't know. I just can't remember nothing anymore. I used to have a mind.
Well, but then, you're not alone. My mind up and left me years ago, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I guess my day trading's going okay. And
that's good to hear.
It went, you know, so after I sold, you know, the interest rates were rising, they didn't do anything.
That's right, they did nothing.
So the market fell, so that's good, I could buy in tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, and my sugar's okay.
Good.
Yeah. Good. I was driving around today because usually I just go to Walmart for an eye exam. Maybe you wouldn't like that idea. But
well, I couldn't because Walmart or whatever, they're fine if your eyes are pretty much normal and you're just looking for the optometrist who's there. But if you have real eye problems, no, you can't go to Walmart.
Yeah, I don't have real eye problems, you know, but then I go there because then there's no one looking for where my meal ticket comes from and where they could smooch some money off.
All right, right. So, all right, so you went and got an eye exam. Are eyes okay?
No, I didn't. You know, you can't call Walmart. I don't think you could call Walmart anymore. They want you to just do everything online.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's all about 5 Walmarts, and they're like, we're busy, and we're not answering the phone.
Yes.
So I think I'm going to go in my neighborhood to 4 Eyes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got to do that. It was just, and call the insurance company, and they don't, you know, you got to give them the zip code for who's on the list, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, with zip code, you know, and so I gave him Norge's zip code, and I don't know. And then it turned out easier to do it with the automated system. It really did.
All right. I don't know what we're talking about, but I'm sure it's wonderful.
List of eye people.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well pick one out, and I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay, and then the migraines, that's what I want. Yeah, I was real sick for 2 days from that where I couldn't even walk. I was so weak.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, when I was young that didn't happen.
Really?
Like my right. And then I called the talk line, and the one woman, you know, a lot of them are real nice. They have their masters in psychology. And
now, by the way, what talk line? You mean like dial a nurse or something?
No, psychological talk line.
Oh, I see. So they kind of over the phone help from anonymous strangers.
Yeah, they just talk to you. They know me. They're not that.
What would that? No, it's not dial a nut. What would that be?
I don't know what it was. Just with the talk, you just talk to people.
No, but I mean, what service is it called? What number do you dial?
I it's just in my phone. I just dial it. I don't know.
All right. I take it this is from the goodness of their heart. There's no. I know they have like suicide and crisis lines, but you're not calling them, are you?
No.
Okay.
They're paid by the state of Illinois. They get paid real good, and they're.
All
right.
So like NAMI or one of those, like the National Alliance of Mental Illness or something?
Yeah, because, I mean, I kind of, you know, I'm doing better. I'm going to start going to the pool 6 blocks away.
Yeah, very nice.
But I just, what, you know, Chuck died and then COVID, and I just am.
That's been a while.
I go all around now. I don't do that anymore. Just sit in the house. So I'm doing a lot better with that. I was so isolated for so long, and I'm not that much anymore.
Well, good.
But the woman on the talk line, I was telling her about the warm, it's called a warm line, telling her about the migraines, and she says she has migraines so bad that she has to have Botox.
Oh, okay.
Ingested into her brain.
Okay.
And I said, I think it's kind of muscular skeletal, too. It's like my back and my shoulders and my neck. And she said, yeah, they injected it in my neck, too, in my shoulders. And, like, when I'm cooking, my neck, you know, and, you know, like, even if I vacuum just my right side, I mean, just that little bit, you know, even if it's not much vacuuming, my whole right side gets like really big, like really strong.
Well, maybe there's something neurological going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe I should find.
Yeah,
you know,
I would say so. It could be neurological, and that could have all sorts of implications. And there might also be some help. So yeah.
Maybe they're.
Yeah, those are not symptoms I'd ignore.
Usually the barbitol, aspirin, caffeine takes it all away. Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't want to mask it. We want to find out why it's happening. So you can hopefully cure it rather than medicate it. And but whenever it's neurological, that can have implications. So I think I would talk to somebody about it who knew what they were doing, not a talk show host.
I have an appointment with Lutheran on the 30th.
All right. Excellent.
Okay.
Well, all right. Glad you're awake. Good to hear from you. Stop coughing.
Allergies.
No, that's this time of year. All right, thanks.
I have to bring a bag of bird seed up on the QT because no one knows I have a bird feeder on the third floor.
For a moment there, I was thought you were telling me the bird seed was helping with your allergies. That is interesting.
Yeah,
okay. All right, just trying to follow along.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. We will have another September song. We will have Ralph from Rockford. We got Cleveland Dennis. All right. And let's see, Isaac on the south side, and Brian in Seneca is back. Well, what, complaining about his requests? I'll play him in any order I want. All right, okay. I think we'll do September song by the artist I have chosen next on WGN Radio.
When I was a young man courting the girls, I played me a waiting game. If a maid refuse me with tossing curls, I'd let this old world take a couple of whirls while I plied her with tears instead of pearls. And as time came along, she came my way. As time came along, she came. But it's a long, long time from May to December. But the days grow short when you reach September. And the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, and one hasn't got time for the waiting game. For the days dwindle down to a precious few. September then November, but these few precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll such a precious few.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there it is, September song. It's done by 645 different people. I almost went with the Ravens, but I decided at the last minute that we would, in fact, have Roy Clark and 1969, and we just did. All right, so Ralph is in Rockford. Ralph, what's happening tonight?
Hello?
Yes, that's you.
Yes, yes, thank you very much. I think the news is coming on.
You do? You're right. Hang on. Yeah. Don't go away. Yeah. Thanks for letting me know.
Okay.
All right. So okay. God knows I can't do this on my own. We'll pick it up right there. We have Cleveland, Denick, and I, and Brian. Brian's calling back, and Mark and Rora, and Chuck and Rockford, and we'll be right back to Ralph, who tells time better than I do on WGN Radio.
Tumbling down, remember, in September, in the rain, the sun went out just like a dying ember. That September, in the rain. To every word of love I heard you whisper, the raindrops seem to play a sweet refrain. Though spring is here, to me it's still September. Ooh, that's September. In the rain, to every word of love I heard you whisper, the raindrops seem to play a sweet refrain. Though spring is here, to me it's still September. That's September in the rain. I said that September
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so that's a Dinah Washington September, and we'll have Earth, Wind, and Fire coming up, and that will end the aquatic for for Brian. Yeah, I was back thinking of September song again, because that's a downright depressing song when you get right down to it, trying to figure out what I could find about Kurt Weill. He was a classical composer, so that says a lot, don't you know? But interestingly, his wife was Lottie Lania, and that caused me to wonder, shows you how the mind works, what the hell was her name doing in Mac the Knife anyway? Right, Miss Lottie Lania, that was his wife, and old Lucy Brown, and actually Lottie Lania was, quite a performer unto herself. She was from Austria originally, and she's married to Kurt Weill, as I mentioned, but the deal, apparently, because I had to look this up, right, because now, then I got curious, what is that in there? Well, when Louis Armstrong was recording his version of the song in 1955, Lania, who was Kurt Weill's widow at that point, was sitting right there in a recording studio. So while reciting the list of characters in Macheath Encounters, Armstrong spontaneously improvised and said, "Look out, Miss Lottie Lania and old Lucy Brown." Yeah, so that's what it came from. I never knew that. Well, all right, now back to Ralph, who can tell time unlike me. And so what are we talking about?
No, thank you very much. Anytime I can step aside for David Jennings, I'd be more than happy.
Well, and I appreciate that, because God knows, as I say, yeah. I can't tell time. I don't follow clocks. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. God love you. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, too. And you know that David Jennings, he's the best newscaster, because I can understand everything he says.
There you are. Yeah, wonderful voice. Wonderful voice.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, he could do a lot of voice acting, and I hope he is.
Yeah, I know. He does the pirate on the show on Thursday night here.
Okay.
John, you know your former colleague there from WGN.
Oh,
and I was going to say that my love for WGN goes way back, at least 60 years.
Uh-huh.
When I was still, I was going to Rockford College still at that time, and I didn't like the dorm, so I checked into a motel right across from the campus of Rockford College. And I know you know this motel, because you've been around Rockford.
Yeah,
that was right on Alpine and State.
Okay.
Yeah, at that time it was called Albert Pick Motel.
Right, Albert Pick, you betcha.
Yeah, and it was right in the back of one of the biggest Ford dealers in the Midwest. At that time it was Willett Ford.
Well, and Albert Pick was a chain, actually. They were all over the country.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. We had one in Bay Harbor, and they had one in Huntsville. That was originally, wasn't it, a Holiday Inn, I think, and Edge of the Town and all that, the Alpine Inn. It was a lot of things, I think, on State Street in Rockford, yeah.
Oh, yeah, stayed on Alpine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right there, right on the corner.
Yeah.
And now it's called, like you said, Alpine Inn.
Yeah.
It's still there. And,
well, sure.
So
why would they turn it down? Well, for a while it was Edge of Town. And I think that was the deal. It was constructed as a Holiday Inn. And at the last minute, I don't know what went wrong, but they named it Edge of Town. And because back then it was the edge of town, as far as that goes. In fact, the paved roads gave way to dirt roads right in front of the motel. He had the big Holiday Inn sign, but of course he couldn't use it because there wasn't a Holiday Inn. Yeah. So he put Edge of Town on it. And with 62 luxurious rooms, completely air conditioned and heated. And of course they had the Edgertown restaurant right by, and so he had in a chain, like I say, he had several Holiday Inns, and they started as the contracts came up, he started to rename them, and that's when in 61 Edgertown became Albert Pick. And that was it had a swimming pool.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
right. Children under 12 stayed free. That's right. They had a little cocktail lounge for business and booze.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
And then okay, remember Edge of Town? They leased that out and it became Saber and Saddle.
Yeah, Saber and Saddle, right down the road.
Right.
That was down the road.
Yeah, well, that had been the Edge of Town restaurant before that. So then it became Saber and Saddle.
Oh.
And then remember
when
Ray Clark bought it, then it became Kai Tiki. And it was Kai Tiki until 1980.
Kai Tiki, oh, I see.
Yeah, God, I hate to say this. It's demolished now, but so I guess I can say
that
it's gone.
Yeah.
But it became Godfather's Pizza for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that was the same time that Henrici's checked into Rockford. And I had one of your loyal listeners mentioned Henrici's Steakhouse in Chicago here a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think those are the same people.
Yeah, I think so.
They had that wonderful, the biggest hotel was the Clock Tower Resort.
Yes, and we've talked about that, and that wonderful museum, yes.
Oh, yeah, wonderful museum, and they had everything inside, and now, believe it or not, now it's a casino.
I know, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you for that.
Yeah. Well, is the Cherryvale Mall still there?
Yeah, but it suffered so much because of COVID-19 there's hardly any businesses left.
Well, it's interesting because that was the first mall where I encountered, instead of escalators, they had inclinators. And I thought that was kind of neat.
Right.
No steps on the escalators. But when I first moved to town and they said, well, we're doing something at Cherryvale Mall. I thought they said Jerryvale Mall. And I said, they've named a mall after Jerryvale? They had not named a mall after Cherryvale. But for a moment there, I really thought, well, that's going to be interesting.
yeah, it was interesting. But the name of the little village is Cherryvale.
Yeah, right, of course.
Cherry, of course.
No, I understand that now. But when they were first telling me, I didn't see it in writing. They just said, we're doing something. And I swear, I thought they said the Cherryvale Mall. And I thought, how the hell did that come about? You know, because, you know, he's not one you would normally think that would have a mall named after him. And he was from the Bronx, for God's sake. So,
Yeah, well, going back to, that was in 69 when I was there at the Albert Pink Motel, and they had a cable TV, and that's what I said. I always liked WGN because
if you remember, it wasn't cable TV, it was CATV, Community Antenna Television.
And you got
Channel 9, and you'd see those...
Channel 9, yeah.
See those commercials all night long for Tom Raper's RV World in Richmond, Indiana.
Well, they had a beautiful, I think it was Friday night or Saturday night, they had a beautiful movie coming on every night at 11 o'clock, I believe.
Yeah,
that was WGN, and then... maybe sometimes you can play the music that was the indicative of those movies, and that was David Brubeck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was Take 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big hit.
Yeah, it was a big hit. I've never heard it on your show, but
you're right, I don't. And the other thing I should play by him, speaking of Take 5, is Blue Rondo a la Turk.
That's really nice. Dave Brubeck, he was quite a genie.
Yeah, let's write that down. First I'll write your name down, and also I know who requested it.
Because
that's what I forget all the time. Okay.
That's all right. You can put me down for Nadine. This guy's in love with you. You must have forgotten.
Yes.
Too.
Are you kidding? Yes.
Yeah.
We'll all sing together.
Yeah.
Yes. I got on the city bus and found a vacant seat. Thought I saw my future bride walking down the street. Shouted to the driver, "Hey, conductor, you must slow down. I think I see you. Please let me off this bus." Nadine.
Right.
All right.
Everything I need you. You are gone.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the other one that was a nice one for me was "This Guy's in Love with You."
Right.
That was composed by Bacharach.
Right.
you know. Yep. So and now you have really touched on some very interesting topics lately here. And I remember now I heard today Cars for Kids.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, now now you know all about it.
Yeah, well, I knew all about them before.
Oh.
And they have changed since it came to light what they're really doing. They have changed their commercials now.
What are they doing on them?
Well, they say they play the old commercial for 5 seconds and then they say don't change the channel now. Don't change the channel, because they knew that people were getting disgusted with it.
Okay.
You know, and then don't change the channel, and then they have a new section of this, commercial.
Do they mention who the charity is and where the money's going?
No, of course not, because they don't want the people to know.
Well, I think they're going to have to, because it'll be interesting to see how this California lawsuit plays. There's absolutely nothing wrong with what they're doing, but they should disclose it.
No, right, but they don't, because they don't want people to know, you know, that.
Well, yeah, if you think you're donating to, 10-year-olds in Minneapolis and you find out it's teenagers in Lakewood, New Jersey, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And then I have a couple of musical questions, if you don't mind.
Uh-oh, okay.
Oh, no, that's okay, because you mentioned one of my songs there. You mentioned Derek with the cinnamon.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and that was one potato, two potatoes, three potatoes, four. Give it to me, cinnamon. I want more.
Right, yeah. Sneaking down the alleyway, knocking on your door. Thought I had enough, but I'm back for more. Right. Cinnamon, let me in. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was quite a song.
Yeah,
there.
I know. I know. I can't remember
Mr.
my
Basement.
Own name, but yeah, one potato, two potato, three potato, open up, cinnamon, I want more. Five potato, six potato, seven potato, eight. Give it to me, cinnamon, I can't wait.
I sang that to one of my girlfriends, and she laughed.
Oh, lovely. Just lovely. That's not a courting song.
No. Okay. Well, and I remember that yesterday, I was going to call you yesterday, but there were so many loyal listeners ahead of me because I always keep my promises. So there were so many people that were ahead of loyal listeners, like, Isaac, Mike, Marge, Jim, and so on. And so I didn't dare to interrupt their train of thought.
All right. Well, you're here today.
Okay, so I'm here today for a little bit. And and you mentioned Wolfman Jack yesterday, too. And here's the interesting thing about Wolfman Jack now. Your station, WGN, of course, has Wolfman Jack.
On the weekends, yes, absolutely.
On the weekend.
Yep,
yeah,
the syndicated version.
Yeah. Yeah,
hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Okay.
I'll be blowing it again on WGN Radio.
Chasing the clouds.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's the end of our quartet for Brian. Yep, September. Allie Willis co-wrote that, and yeah, she started out. She was working in the publicity department at Columbia when I was at Epic, and put out an album actually. And for right, she was leaving. They put an album for a child star, and I thought it was kind of cute. And she went on to some great songwriting credits, including September. All right, so back in back in Rockford, and I just realized it's time again for the news coming up on WGN Radio.
I couldn't sleep at all last night, just thinking of you. Maybe things weren't right when I was tossing and turning, turning and tossing, tossing and turning all night. I kicked the blankets on the floor, turned my shade, went to the kitchen for a bite, rolled up the shade, turned off the light, I jumped back into bed, it was the middle of the night, the clock downstairs was striking four, couldn't get you off the mind, I heard the milkman at the door.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, don't tell me no soul ever came out of Indianapolis. Well, there was Bobby Lewis, Tossin' and Turnin', 1961 on Belltone, a terrific little label. And Carl in Chicago wanted to hear that. I kind of like to follow up One Track Mind, but nonetheless, that's fine. Richie Adams of the Fireflies wrote Tossin' and Turnin'. So, yeah, the group that did You Were Mine at the time. All right, so back to Ralph in Rockford in closing. So, Ralph, what else did you want to say?
Yeah, in closing, well, I have to say, too, it's some kind of a privilege for me to listen to David Jennings for 10 times.
And I think you get to listen to him all night. They record that during the Walt Sabo Sterling show, yeah.
Yeah, they must do that. Well, it was very nice, this Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
September was chosen to be one of the best 100 songs ever that came out.
How about that?
Yeah, that was, I mean, Earth, Wind, and Fire, my favorite version of one of their hits was With the Emotions in 1977 with Boogie Wonderland.
Right.
Yeah,
my favorite Emotions, though, was actually on Volt when they did So I Can Love You.
Yeah. The Emotions were quite very famous and good. And I remember Dick Biondi from WCVL, was it one?
CFL.
104.3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had every year in spring or early spring or late spring or early summer, he went to Libertyville and he introduced quite a few groups from Chicago there.
There you are.
Yeah, that was quite something. Unfortunately, you know, all these good things. I mean, Dick Biani just passed away 2 years ago.
Yes.
He was 91. So,
yes.
But I'm sure it was a good colleague, and you've known him quite well.
Yeah, well, you know, he for 10 years was in North Myrtle Beach at WNMB doing mornings. Yeah. And he can thank Bob Surratt for coming back to Chicago because Bob put him on his TV show, and he came back. Yeah. But, yeah, I used to listen to him in Myrtle Beach all the time.
Oh, yeah. He was a real great DJ.
Everywhere else, too. Yeah, he was tremendous.
Yeah, Dick Biani. Remember I went to one of those come-togethers in Libertyville in 1997, and he was there, too. And they had quite a few good groups, for example, the Buckinghams there, too.
Well, that's local Chicago. Doesn't get better than that.
Yeah. No. Buckinghams were one of my favorite groups.
Me too. I always keep meaning to call Jim Holvey or at least send him an email because I'd love to have him on.
Yeah.
And I play some of his recent stuff on KJ.
Yeah, that would be quite a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm sure there are other people that are waiting to talk to you.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And maybe I'll talk to you Monday again.
I'm counting on it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And yeah, lines are full. So let me release Ralph's line and give you a chance if you want to get in on the action. So let's see. We've got Cleveland Dennis. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh and all listeners. Great show tonight. You know, you mentioned Johnny Simba. He attended that same high school I went to on the west side of Cleveland, West Technical High, but he was there about 4 years before I was.
Okay.
And we kind of heard about him, in school, but after I really got into the old music and so forth and so on, just knew more about him, and it was interesting. I love the story that you explained.
Yeah. Anyhow, oh, absolutely.
I wanted to mention that, but, you know, the other day there was talk and you played some of the Searchers songs. I was fortunate enough to see them about three times because they were touring with Herman's Hermits and I forget who else, a few of the other groups. And, they were showing up and it was inexpensive in the early 70s, $3 maybe.
Right.
Maybe four.
Right.
Go and see these guys. And they were tight. Searchers, when they played, they were tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing sloppy about them.
I agree.
But, I definitely liked when you played September in the Rain or September with by Dinah Washington.
Yeah.
But, that was my girlfriend whose birthday's tomorrow. She's gone now, but she loved that song. Anyhow, you talked about the Students. I haven't heard the Students, and I think you played something by them.
Sure.
A couple days. Yeah. I had a guy that came into the trucking company where I worked and was yelling out, anybody selling old records? I ended up selling them a bunch of records at the time, like $500 worth. And that was about 73, 74. But he gave me a reel-to-reel, and it was kind of laced with Donnie Elbert and the Students.
Oh, that's great.
Some stuff I've never heard. I mean, this was like early 70s again. And we used to play that, and it was just a knockout. And then Everything Comes to Life when it's mentioned on your show. And,
the Students were from Cincinnati. They were terrific. Never got their due, that's for sure.
Well,
but, of course, Donnie Elbert, the absolute best. And, another guy who never got his due.
Yeah, and then, you know, you talk about him from time to time or over the years since I've been a pretty regular listener. And it's just amazing how some of these artists just never quite made it, but they were unbelievable when you had their 45s.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That's, I like that you played Little Baby by Buddy Holly, you know. I think for a short time, the way I heard it when I heard Little Baby for the first time, just a few, I don't know, a month or two ago, that Trini Lopez was on the same record label, and then they played Kansas City by Trini Lopez. So if you see your way about it, maybe I can make that request. You play
okay.
Trini Lopez with
Kansas City. All right.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was when he was at PJ's, and it's a single on Reprise, but it's also on that By Popular Demand album. So, yes, I've got it.
No idea on my part. Now, you were playing some Marcells a while back. Did you ever play Goodbye to Love?
Yes, I have played Goodbye to Love several times.
Okay. All right. But, I just find it fascinating when people make the request of some of the good sounds and songs that weren't big hits, like some of the Marcell stuff.
Oh, yeah. Friendly Loans is my fave.
What's it?
Friendly Loans.
Interesting.
Do you remember it?
I don't know that one.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Oh, man. You got to hear some of that, because Friendly Loans, as far as I'm concerned, is the Marcells at their finest. But talk about no airplay. But, I just loved it. And, it was a takeoff on a TV commercial local in Pittsburgh at the time. But and you'll relate.
Well,
but add it
to my request list then.
Well, hang on, I'm gonna let you hear a little more because I want to know what you think of it. So it's a fine, yeah, Friendly Loans.
Go, hurry, get. I get over to Friendly Loans. We wanna see you at Friendly Loans. That neighborly low cost long term uptown, no down payment company.
My baby said she'd marry me, but there was just one thing.
What?
I had to go and buy her a great big diamond ring. I didn't have no money, I didn't know where to go, until I heard that fella say on the radio.
I get, I get over to Friendly Loans. Hurry over to Friendly Loans. All you have to do is sign on the dotted line, and the money is there, and the treatment is fine. At Friendly Loans, we wanna see you at Friendly Loans. That neighborly low cost, long term, uptown, no down payment, a company.
Well, after we both said I do.
Gotta love it. Yes, the neighborly low cost, small term, uptown, no downtown payment company.
No, I've never heard that one before, but that one's that kicks. That's very good. But Raleigh, all I'm going to say is I listen as much as I can. It's a great show, like I said, tonight, and thank you very kindly. That's all I got.
Good to hear from you. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, yes, and we will absolutely get those requests on. Now, 888-876-5593. Isaac had a request, and I'm about to play it, and then we'll talk to him coming up on WGN Radio.
Give me some bucks and I'll be straight.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, enjoying that just a little too much. Of course, James Brown wrote it and produced it, but that's the JBs, his backup band. You can have Watergate, just give me some bucks and I'll be straight. And it's on the Doing It to Death album, 1973, on Polydor Around the World, but in the States it was on People. And it was Isaac who had requested that. So, Isaac, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I was actually calling in because I realized yesterday after listening that I did not actually say the name of the song, but I'm glad that you were able to find it.
Oh, yeah. No, it was on that Doing It to Death album. I knew.
Okay, cool. Thank you for playing it. Before I forget, I do want to request another song by Sylvia Vanderpool and Hotlips Page called Sharp Little Sister, and I was under the impression, I don't know if it's the same song or two different songs, I heard it through the grapevine, and I thought that it was a creative little song. I'm a fan of Hotlips Page, so yeah, I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. I was listening when I found out that it was the anniversary of Watergate. I just randomly wanted to hear what songs were, inspired by Watergate. And a lot of them, I'm not going to lie, they just really didn't rock my boat. I don't want to say they didn't have commercial appeal. They made sense. Like, the point of the song made sense, but it just didn't, do anything for me. Of course, Lynyrd Skynyrd's Sweet Home Alabama, because that one references Watergate. Mm-hmm. And then I came, Stevie Wonder has one as well, but I didn't think that it sounded well. Gil's got her own, he has one as well. They get kind of like wordy, like they all get a little too wordy. It's either satirical, like they take like a, like kind of a jokey kind of point of view about it, or they, they're really militant in their ideas of it. And then I came across that one, and I was like, oh, wow. And I had heard that before, but I never realized what they were actually saying. I never really paid attention that they were saying that it was about Watergate. So, yeah.
Well, of course, then don't forget Dickie Goodman and Watergate, the break-in record. Have you heard that?
I think that I had come across it. Doesn't he take a satirical view of it?
Well, yeah, it's just like Flying Saucer.
Okay, I may have. I'll go ahead and request that one as well. I don't know if I paid attention to it.
Okay.
I'm going to say this and I'm going to get off. When I was reading about COINTELPRO, I thought it was really funny that before they decided to break into the Watergate Hotel, right?
Right.
That's why it's called Watergate. Who was it? Whoever did it. What, the Secret Service? The FBI?
There were many people involved in this. And it's just
exactly.
a tawdry, sad
my
story.
My point is, though, yes. My point is, though, that they, before they did the break-in, they were actually considering setting the hotel on fire and sneaking in while the fire was being put out to go and steal the files. And I'm like, how? What?
Well, I think it started with them. They planted listening devices in the DNC offices, were at the Watergate complex and all of that. Yeah, and Operation Gemstone with the Cuban burglars, and of course, the names we know are Howard Hunt and Gordon Liddy. But the saddest thing about this, the thing that is one of the reasons why we don't talk about politics on this show, because my head turns around. But here's the deal: they didn't have to do this. He was going to win no matter what.
That's what I was reading while I was
this
looking
was crazy.
And
this was crazy talk.
What are your opinions on Watergate salad?
Say what?
What are your opinions of Watergate salad?
I'm not sure I know about this.
It's kind of like ambrosia salad. I think they were actually doing it before Watergate, but it's from the Watergate Hotel. And so since then, it's like marshmallows.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it here. A sweet, fluffy retro dessert. Pistachio pudding mix, crushed pineapple, mini marshmallow. I'm going to be sick. I don't want to read the rest of the ingredients. Man, are you kidding? That's a glucose spike on a plate like nothing I've ever seen. No, thank you.
My grandmother loves this salad that they sell here at a restaurant called the Colas.
Well,
it's like a Hawaiian salad that has the same thing, marshmallows, pineapples, mandarins. And I'm like, I cannot run off this.
No,
she loves it.
Here's the deal. They have whipped topping, like Cool Whip. Who the hell wants to eat a dessert at a fancy Bonansi hotel with Cool Whip? I mean, I'd swear I was in Utah, land of 5,000 Jell-O molds.
Like, I think it was new at the time. So, like, you know, like you said, the Jell-O molds, like, you know, at the time, that was, like, that was the top of the line type of a thing. So, yeah. But, all right, that's all, Riley. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm looking right now at a picture of this Watergate salad. Oh, God. It's green. All right, well, yeah, I'll tell you what, that'd be a diet. I might never eat again after seeing that. Well, until the next time. 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. I don't know, we may do Dickie Goodman next, or we could do Sylvia Vanderpool, but John says, do this on WGN Radio.
I can't go to sleep. I can't even eat. I can't call his name or any other thing. He says I'm pig meat, waiting for the fattening pan. Tell me how long, Daddy, must I stay with him? Change your point of view.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Sylvia Vanderpool, that's who she was at the time. And Sharp Little Sister, with the Nelson Clark Orchestra. On that Columbia 78, they do not even mention Hot Lips Page, who clearly was the band leader and the trumpeter on that. But many of the things that she recorded at that time were as little Sylvia. She was only about 14 when she recorded that. She began recording for Columbia then after she dropped out of high school. And that was the deal. Then a few years later, that's when she teamed up with Mickey Baker from Kentucky. And that's who taught her to play guitar. And of course, Mickey and Sylvia, I don't need to tell you about that. So there you go. Vanderpool. A lot of times you'll see it as Vanderpool, but it wasn't. It was Sylvia Vanderpool originally from Harlem. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. And Mark is in Aurora. So Mark, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I recall I had told you at least a week ago that I was going to reminisce about Milt Rosenberg, but I've got something more pressing on my mind tonight. I'm asking any input from listeners. That'll probably have to wait until tomorrow night, or just prayers, if nothing else. I finally got a chance to talk with my friend Mike back in Western New York State, and he normally lives in a group home in East Amherst, but right now he's in another place in East Aurora. And my guess is it's some kind of mental facility because in addition to all of the other stresses he usually has, and let me review what they are if I've never talked about them. He has cerebral palsy to the point where he's now in a wheelchair.
Okay.
He has poor eyesight. And he is developmentally disabled.
Okay.
Now, a social worker who once took me to see him told me that she got the impression he was high functioning.
Okay.
I once heard a psychology professor say that he would maintain that the developmentally disabled endure the most stress in our society because they have to deal with complex technology, and they even find it hard to make change in a department store, and that means they also get cheated a lot.
Well, and there's another problem too when you're talking about that level of high functioning, and that is they're aware of what they're dealing with. That's the worst.
That was going to be my next point. When I try to help people understand Mike, what I do is tell them that Mike is just smart enough to know that almost everyone else in the world is smarter than he is.
Exactly.
And I ask people, try to imagine how you would feel going through life feeling that you're at the bottom of the heap.
Yep.
That's not good for his self-esteem. But he also lost his mother last Halloween. And when the staff at his present place finally put me in touch with him, there were three or four signs that something was very wrong. Number one, he cried on the phone. He's never cried in my presence before. Number two, he said that I was the only one he has left. Now, that's not factually true. I think what he meant was, I'm the only one he has left who isn't family and who doesn't get paid to be with him. I think that's what he meant.
Right. Well, I could understand that.
The third thing was the most unsettling. He told me that last Sunday he started doing something again, that the last time I know about him doing this was as a teenager. He started biting his wrist.
Oh.
Now I tried that on myself, and I can tell you it hurts. And he's obviously trying to get to the artery under the skin.
Oh, geez.
Which will not be easy by biting because, you know, you have to get through the skin and then you have to get through the wall of the artery. But the point is that Mike is clearly trying to kill himself. And, you know, I don't care.
Oh, well, let me interrupt you and ask. Do you think that he's subconsciously trying to kill himself or consciously trying to kill himself?
I don't honestly know because
that's the biggest question.
I don't know what his level of mental awareness allows him to know,
right.
But whoever's working with him is apparently giving him some good counsel because he said something about how he was told that his tears are good. And I remember getting off the phone and thinking about our conversation, and I thought, you better believe they're good because that means you're getting this out of your system.
Sure.
And I just, you know, anybody who has known anyone who's developmentally disabled, and I just want to say that it was clearly God's doing that Mike and I came together. And if that was caused by my sight impairment, I am very thankful for that because, well, let me put it this way. His IQ is probably in the bottom 10%. Mine has been measured in the upper 1%. And this would not have happened because I once tried to interest an Episcopal church in having classes about developmentally disabled people, and my name was not on the suggestion, so they weren't rejecting it because of me, but absolutely no one expressed an interest in learning about the developmentally disabled. They want to have classes about church history and theology. And
right.
I was tempted to say, are you guys blind?
Well,
you know, because Mike has taught me things that can't be put into words, but essentially he has helped me keep my feet on the ground, and he has helped me to have a greater level of sensitivity than I otherwise would have had. I mean, the things that he has taught me can't be put into words, but Mike has enriched my life, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so where are we now? Obviously, it was a disturbing conversation.
Yeah, I am asking listeners to pray for Mike if they would care to. And if any of them has input because they've known a developmentally disabled person or have worked with such people, I would welcome that too.
Let me interject here that is such a broad term that encompasses so much that it is almost a case of what one person's experience in that arena has nothing to do with the next. I mean, this literally is unique to the individual.
I would agree, and I've met or been acquainted with other developmentally disabled people, and none of them is exactly like Mike, are they exactly like each other. Developmentally disabled is just a psychological term that attempts to state where a person is.
Well, it's an umbrella.
Nomenclature can't do that perfectly.
No, it's an umbrella. And because of that, it's everything from the autism spectrum, a disorder to cerebral palsy or Down syndrome, and on and on. The one commonality is with developmental disability, it arises before adulthood, though the limitations become lifelong.
Mike was born this way,
right,
I know.
But there's so many things. And, you know, that's where even mental health professionals have a real problem with this, because trying to nail down why something is happening, and it very often is a complex answer, not something you could come to. And, of course, when you talk about the autism spectrum, that's huge, to say the least. And
I doubt that Mike is autistic, but he does have one unfortunate habit which he probably finds difficult to put a stop to. He tends to dwell in the past and feel regret. He has so many times he has apologized to me, and I have said, Mike, that happened long ago. God has forgiven you for that.
Right.
God is still watching over you. God has not abandoned you. So don't worry about it anymore. It's all over and done with. But he still goes back to the past and reproaches himself constantly.
Yeah, it's not unusual in terms of that. And you can say all you want. It's not totally conscious with him in terms of his motivations for why he's going there.
No.
Unfortunately.
I think he's hoping to undo it.
You don't do that, of course
can't
not.
Do.
So,
I think he's moving in a suicidal direction. I think when they told me of his manager, I now know that they probably meant therapist. And when they told me of rehabilitation, I think they probably meant therapy, because they have to keep his situation and those of their other clients confidential.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So they use other nomenclature to describe what's going on.
And also, assuming that he's getting help through government programs or what have you, Medicaid or whatever, the worst thing in the world is the word plateau. Because when you're not making any progress, either forward or backward, they'll cut you off and they'll warehouse you. So the key is to not plateau, and that's true with physical things as well. And so hopefully they're on that as far as that goes.
Well, and what you say makes me worry, because I'm afraid that Mike could plateau and then the government would cut him
off. They'd warehouse him. That's exactly right. Won't cut him off entirely. It would just be a different situation, which would not be good.
They would put him in a mental facility, wouldn't they?
Well, not necessarily just that, but it would be truly, I mean, warehouse is an appropriate word for this. It wouldn't be a place where he would thrive, to say the least.
No, and he voiced a brief complaint about his group home where he was before. He said something about how he wasn't sure if that was the right place for him to be or something like that, and I don't know where that was coming from, but I have talked with some of the staff at his group home, and I sense that they care about him and really do well at taking care of him. But I think in his depressive state, he probably sees almost everything in a negative light.
Well, and you're also talking about with that, given his history, it also can be part physical. There can be brain chemistry issues. So it's not always a psychological situation. True. So I'm glad that they care for him and are going to be watching this, because the important thing is having somebody who cares enough to unravel this.
Yeah, and I hope that he will feel free, or that they will allow him to talk with me if he wants to do that.
Well, I would hope that they wouldn't stop him from talking to whomever he wanted. That would be bad. So,
But I haven't been able to get in touch with his so-called manager, but I talked with a staff member who told me that this was a question I would best ask this person, and that was whether Mike would be up for a visit from this point, because I'm going to go to Western New York for my 50th year high school reunion. That's going to be the first traveling I've done since I went totally blind. And basically what I want to know is whether Mike is up to a visit. And where I'm coming from when I ask that question is that there are orphans who go to a warm, loving family for Thanksgiving dinner, and then they get put right back in the orphanage, and their last state is almost worse than their first, because now they've tasted a little bit of home life and family love, and now they're back in the orphanage, and it hurts like hell.
And given the history you have, I don't think it would be a bad thing for you to have that visit. But what really concerns me is if they're controlling him to the degree that he can't freely talk to whomever he wants, from what you're describing, he may not be at a level where he needs that level of control.
Well, I will say this. When I was talking with Mike, the staff member who was with him did not interfere at all.
Good.
She let us talk freely. And so I hope that, you know, the rest of the staff is just as
well. Let me ask you,
of him as Lily is.
If Mike, let's say Mike wanted to make a call to you, is he able to do that? Is he, is he physically, mentally capable of doing that? Like reaching out, finding a phone, calling you?
He did so from his group home. Now, I don't know. Someone at his group home told me that he doesn't even have a cell phone, and I don't know whether the facility where he is now allows long distance calls.
Well, I'm not asking about that. I'm asking about his capabilities. If he wanted to, is he capable of making the calls? Not.
Yeah, he has. When he hasn't been plagued with depression, he has called me in the past.
Well, I hope you will see him. I think it would be good for both of you.
Yeah, I hope it can be worked out. And I'm going to keep trying that phone number that I was given until I get his so-called manager.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully you'll get a feel for that person between the lines, as well as exactly what they say. All right. Well,
any prayers from listeners would be much appreciated, and any input would be much appreciated.
Okay, so this is for Mike, and Mike is in what city?
He was in East Amherst. He is now in East Aurora.
Okay, Mike in East Aurora,
which is about 30 miles from Clarence, which is where I'll be staying. So whoever takes me there is going to have, you know, an hour of driving to do.
No, understood. But I mean, for prayer's sake, I usually like to get a location.
Yeah.
So Mike in East Aurora.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You got it. I wish him the best. And you too. I'm looking forward to hearing all about the trip. I'm glad you're making it.
And thanks to the listeners for listening and caring.
Yeah, and you know, you may be surprised because many people have someone in their life who is developmentally disabled. And as I say, it's so different person to person, but there might be some wisdom involved. So I would encourage people to call. Thank you.
Okay. All
right.
Good night, everybody.
So, yeah.
And good morning.
Right. One of those things. So that's either tonight, well, we're running out of time, but tomorrow night we have three big hours, don't you know, about 21 hours from now. So if you don't tonight, if you'll call tomorrow. In the meantime, please keep Mike and East Aurora in your prayers. And we'll, the waning moments, they are, we've got Chuck in Rockford. Oh, Brian called back. All right. Maybe about his request. I don't know. We'll find out if he's still there. That might have been from the last call, though. I might have forgotten to disconnect the line. I'm not sure. But either way, we'll check out Chuck and maybe you too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We only have about 2.5 minutes left, so we'll forego the bumper and we will go directly to Chuck in Rockford. Chuck, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah. Hey, you just got a minute left, I guess, or yeah, something.
About a minute and a half, yeah.
Yeah. Visit Henrici's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a picture of Jimmy. Oh, God, I can't. But anyhow, he says, Jimmy Durante.
Yes.
And he says, let's go over to Henrici's and get a new coat.
Okay.
That was when they first opened that restaurant.
All right.
But, yeah, you don't have much time. I did want to talk to you about that interview you did on the
Well, what was it about?
Oh, it was about abduction.
About what?
Kids being abducted.
Abduction. Oh, okay. I don't even remember this.
Yeah, they said there was something about a catalog that they had, the kids that hadn't even been abducted yet.
Oh, interesting.
And I wondered if that was on the dark web.
I have absolutely no idea. I have no recollection of this. Do you know how old the interview was?
Oh, God, it was... I'm not sure. It was probably quite a long time
ago.
Oh,
geez. Well,
I had written down the name of the
okay,
of the person, but yeah. I don't have it.
Well, if you come across it,
I almost fell asleep here.
No, I know, and I feel sorry about that. But if you come across it, call me back tomorrow night, and if I recognize it, I'll tell you what I know, which might not be much. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks,
and
Chuck.
I'd like to talk to Ralph sometime.
Well,
all
right, Ralph, that's the deal. I'm going to put you on hold, Chuck. You can give John your phone number. Ralph, if you call back and want to talk to Chuck, I'll get your phone number and we'll swap them. Hang on, don't go away. All right,
okay.
So that's pretty much a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. And we'll do it again 21 hours from now. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Big Yellow Taxing Plus, Rocky and Bulldozer, and Texas Transition Turmoil. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Spirit in the buy, fly by plight. Just hours before Spirit Airlines declared the end of an era, the owners of the planes pounced to get their big old jet airliners back from the Soviet-style sky service, saying, sayonara. The repo men of the airline biz scrambled to secure the last flights as they landed at airports nationwide and convince authorities those aircraft belonged to them. Just fired Spirit pilots, hired freelance to fly most of the planes one last time to a desert parking lot, left grieving on a jet plane. Raging Bulldozer, Revenge of the Slurred in the UK, crush, creep bar threat. A jilted hubby blitzed on booze and blow gets a bulldozer from his pops and proceeds to plow his way straight into the saloon where he was blubbering his blues. Seems he hadn't taken kindly to gossip about his ex. Wreck-It Ralph apparently yelled this'll be a drive-through on his way to barreling through at least 30 thou worth of damage. 3 years in the pokey for this piece of dirty work. The Lone Scar State. Texas troublemakers are torching the transgender treatment trade, forcing a famed children's hospital to build a detransition clinic, boot 5 doctors, and cough up $10 million after a bruising state probe. Critics call it political punishment, backers call it overdue discipline. Meanwhile, frightened families, battling bureaucrats, and culture war crusaders keep turning medicine into a national mud wrestling match. And once again, the kids are stuck holding the hot potato. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.